We look here in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And if we have known and believed the love that God hath to us, God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he that loveth God loveth his brother also. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let's seek God's face at the throne of grace. Our Heavenly Father, once again we bow before thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, thy lovely Son. We thank thee for thy precious book this morning. We thank thee for the infallible book. We thank thee that thou art a great and mighty God. We thank thee that thou dost love us with an everlasting love, and we have been led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me. It is so. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the redemption that we have in Christ and through his blood. And we pray that thou wilt come and speak to all of our hearts, especially to those who are still without thee. O God, I pray in Jesus' name that even in this morning service, when we come to minister, yet, Lord, to thy saints, we pray that our God, that thou wilt take of the word, and that thou wilt apply it with power even to the heart of the unconverted, that thou wilt bring men and women and young people to saving faith in Christ, that their lives may be changed, and that their homes may be rearranged, and that our Father, that you'll come into this town. Lord, we commit this district to thee. We pray for the movement of thy Spirit, and we pray for the enablement of thy Spirit, even as I come to minister thy word. And I know that to thee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will give all the praise, and give all the honor, and give all of the glory. For we pray this believing in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. In these morning services, we have been considering together the great truths and doctrines of the Word of God that we find in his precious book. Our personal relationship and our blessed standing that we have in and through Jesus Christ. We have been endeavoring to consider the question, who am I? Who am I as a child of God? And what is my position and privileges being born again of the Spirit of God? First of all, we've been considering who am I by the doctrine and in the doctrine of creation, looking at the Scriptures and seeing exactly whom God made and what was in the heart of God when he made us. The Catechism asks the question, what is man's chief end? In other words, what is the purpose of my being here? The Catechism rightly answers, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And the purpose of my being here today is to glorify God. Thank God for His creation, for God made me, and He made me for His glory. Let us make man in our own image. And then last Lord's Day, we were thinking not only of the doctrine of creation, we were thinking of the doctrine of regeneration, the new birth, being born again of the Spirit of God, how that a man receives a new nature in and through Jesus Christ. That we were born in sin. The old nature is a sinful nature. But thank God Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That new nature, that which is born of the flesh, is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And we were considering together the great blessing of regeneration, being born again, God imparting life to us, and how that we are different, changed, new creatures. If any man be in Christ, the Bible said, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. It's a wonderful verse in 1 John chapter 4. It says, verse 17, herein is our love made manifest, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Isn't that an amazing statement? As He is, so are we in this world. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. When God said, let us make man in His own image, so God created man in His own image. But man willfully sinned, walked in defiance and rebellion against God. But thank God for the new birth. Thank God we are born again of the Spirit of God, regenerated. And we have the blessing of the new birth. Now I want to talk to you this morning about another doctrine. In our readings this morning, both in the book of Romans and in the book of 1 John, we have read concerning that little word, and it is a blessed doctrine in the Word of God. It is propitiation. If you turn with me just for a moment, here in 1 John, it tells us here in verse number 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Notice there's the relationship concerning you and me. He was sent to be the propitiation for our sins. In the book of Romans, we read this morning in chapter 3, verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. I asked myself the question, who am I? And in my understanding of it, I have to go to the doctrine, who am I in Jesus Christ? And how precious am I to Him? And I consider the doctrine of propitiation. Now that's an interesting word, propitiation, and I want to explain exactly what it means. And therefore, how is it related to me and my relationship to God and what has God done? If you keep your hand in 1 John chapter 4, because I'll come back there in a moment, but if you look there in the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews in the chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9,
And if you go down there to verse 5, it says this, "And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly." And you see that word, mercy seat. In Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse 5, it is the same word, comes from the same Greek root word as mercy seat, propitiation. And so therefore, it is a word, it's the word propitiation. Mercy seat for our sins. Mercy seat for our sins. I was just reminding myself as I was thinking about this message. In the book of Exodus chapter 25, I'll read these words to you. In verse 21 it says, "And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat." God communing with us, God communing with man, he says that he would meet the children of Israel and commune with man above the mercy seat. And so therefore there is a relationship here, because it's the same root Greek word as mercy seat, the word propitiation. Now what does the doctrine of propitiation teach you and me? It teaches me this fact. It's a lovely thought. Because when I think of the doctrine of propitiation, it teaches me that I am deeply, deeply loved of God. That's what the doctrine really teaches me. How deeply I am loved of God. And I believe that you and I need to consider the truth. We live in a world where men and women feel lonely. There is a lack of love. There is so much hate in this world. And yet we find that as we consider the Word of God, here is a righteous and a holy God. And here is sinful man. And yet you and I in Christ Jesus are deeply, deeply loved of God. I hear some believers say to me, "But preacher, listen, you've got to understand, I have disappointed the Lord. I look back, I speak myself this morning. I look back over the week that has passed. And friend, before God, there have been times in our lives, things that we have done in the week that has passed, we have disappointed the Lord. Attitudes that we have disappointed God." But you see, that's your performance. That's your performance. But we're not speaking in this doctrine about the performance of man. We're pondering who we are in Christ. And what we're speaking about is the relationship between God and man. Not about our performance, but about our person. Who am I in Christ Jesus? Who am I in Christ Jesus? Who am I personally in Christ? Not about my performance, but about my person, my position in Christ Jesus. And as I look at that relationship, I want you to notice that when we talk about the doctrine of propitiation here, if you go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, you'll find that it begins with a truth. It begins with a truth. That the basic relationship between God and man is one of love. Look at verse 9. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so we find a very basic relationship here between God and man is one of love. In John 3:16 it says these words, "For God so loved the world." You see, God loves Not because we are lovely. Not because of what we have done. God is love. God commended His love, Romans says, in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, you can love somebody because they are responding to your love, or perhaps they are extending to you their love. But it was while we were yet sinners, God commended His love towards us. There was nothing lovely about us. And God demonstrates how much He loves us by an act. And it is by this truth, the act of propitiation. That's what it says in verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Herein is love, that God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God demonstrating His love towards sinful man. And here is a specific act, propitiation. Now, if you were to lift the dictionary and read the word propitiation, ask what does it mean? It means to appease or to satisfy. To satisfy the anger, to satisfy the wrath of someone wronged. Or to make right a wrong. And let us ask ourselves a question. Where is this doctrine and truth? Where does it lie with you and me? Well, first of all, we have wronged. We have wronged God. We have read this morning, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me tell you, my friend, the society in which we live have no thought of the sinfulness of man's heart because it has lost sight of the absolute holiness of God. And when we lose sight of the absolute holiness of God, then we do not seriously think about the sinfulness of man. Let us be honest this morning. You and I, in our sin, offended God's holiness. You offended God's holiness. Dear sinner, in the service this morning, let me make this, the life that you're living in sin is an offense to God. The God who made you. The God who loved you. The God who sent His Son to be the propitiation for your sin. The life that you live, unconverted person, it's not only just your life, you live a life that is an offense to God. You are offending God. There are particular things that you do in this life that offend man. But living without God, living without His Son, living without His salvation, living without the covering of His blood, living without His pardon and His peace in your soul, in other words, living in sin, your life is an offense to God. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought that when you rise in the morning and then lie down at night that you've lived a life that is an offense to God? It's not that you've relied upon God to give you breath because you many days never even thought of Him. You've lived to yourself. You've lived your own life. You've lived to the flesh. You've satisfied your own ways and your own desires. And in many ways, God wasn't before your eyes. You've wronged God, friend. And every day you live without Him, you've wronged Him. And you're wronging Him. And the life that you're living is an offense to God. Now what does justice demand for such a life? Justice demands sentence. Justice demands sentence. Justice demands wages. The wages of sin.
Because justice demands payday.
And dear unconverted sinner, let me tell you, that's exactly what you'll get if you go on in your sin. If you reject the Son of God and you die in your sin, you'll receive the wages too. The wages of your sin is death. And that death, my friend, for the unconverted man or woman who dies physically, will be a death spiritually. It will be the second death.
That is to be cast into the lake of fire.
And you'll reap the whirlwind of your sin, and you'll receive the wages of your sin, for justice demands it. And yet here it tells us that God so loved you and me that God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And here's the question. How can God's holiness and God's righteousness be reconciled to God's mercy and God's pardon and grace?
There's a lovely verse over in the book of Psalms. Keep your hand in 1 John, but just a little verse over in Psalm 85. And you know, really, it brings it together, doesn't it? It says this, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Friend, how can God's holiness and God's righteousness be reconciled to God's mercy and God's pardon and God's grace and peace? And yet the Word of God says here that mercy and truth, they are met together. They are brought as one. And righteousness and peace, they have kissed each other. You see, God is not only a God of holiness, but God is a God of love. Listen, in His holiness, He condemns sin. But in His love, God desires to pardon sin. But how can He do it? How can God, who is a holy God, pardon sin which deserves condemnation? And the answer is in the doctrine of propitiation. God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, God sent His Son as our substitute to suffer our condemnation for us. It's not that God's holiness is not satisfied. God's holiness is fully satisfied. God is a holy God. He is a purer eyes than to behold sin. God cannot overlook sin. But what God has done is this. That holy God, who is a God of love, sent His Son to be the propitiation, as our substitute, to suffer our condemnation for us. And therein God satisfied His holy nature, who must pay the wages of sin out, condemn sin, but on the other hand, satisfy that He is a God of love. In that the same verse says, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says, but the gift of God. Yes, the wages deserved for our sin is death. The holy God must condemn our sin and extract the payment. He is a holy God, but He's a God of love. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. And God satisfied His holiness And in his love, he sent his Son to be our substitute, to suffer that condemnation for us, that the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, might be given unto us. You see, in pagan religion, man must appease or satisfy his God with sacrifice, seeking to pay for his sin. In actual fact, in pagan religion, not only would they send sacrifices and bring sacrifices, not only that of animals, but many of them in pagan religion brought their own children and sacrificed them upon the altar. They passed them through the fires in the Valley of Hinnom as they offered to Molech. You see, in pagan religions, man must appease his God with sacrifice. And in dead religion today, they tell us that we need to appease God by doings, by works. Do as many good things as you can. Offer up sacrifices unto God. But the gospel of Christ tells us that God has satisfied, God has appeased his own holy nature so that we can receive from him eternal life. And because of his satisfying his own holy nature, he can receive us just as we are. That's why they wrote the hymn, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." God commended his love, Romans 5:8, towards us in that while we were yet sinners. Many say, you know, whenever we become good, whenever we become better, whenever we do things and earn things and present things to God and tithe and give everything to God, then God will love us and God will pardon us. And we will appease God's holy nature. Let me tell you, friend, never place the value of your person on your performance, because you've already lost. It is not of works of righteousness that we have done. But thank God, place the value of your person on that which God has placed upon you. When I was thinking about this, you know, I suppose one of the hardest things for anyone in this life is to lose a child. Nobody can ever, ever express the pain. There are those that are here today that understand. But for those of us who have never stood there, we cannot understand the unimaginable pain of such a loss. But I want you to think of something, friend. God willingly gave his Son for you. And those whose children have been taken from them, let's be honest, you didn't give them willingly. And had you been asked, you know, your heart, you would have refused. And friends, so would I. But God willingly gave his Son to become sin for us. To pay your penalty and mine. God is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And in that love,
He sent His Son to be the propitiation, to appease, to satisfy His holy anger against sin. To appease, yes, that righteous indignation, and satisfy the law. And the doctrine of propitiation proves how much God loved us. Friend, let me tell you, sinner, you ask, are you loved today? Loved by everlasting love, led by grace. That love to know. Wouldn't that be a tremendous thing if you were led by grace to know the love of God today as you've never known it before? There was a great theologian preacher was speaking to 3,000 students one day. And after he had spoken to the students and was about to finish his lecture in that great theological seminary, one of the students stood up and said to him, "Sir, I want to ask you a question before you close." It wasn't meant for questions, but he said, "Young man, ask." Here was a question. He said, "Tell me, sir, what was the greatest theological concept that has ever crossed your mind? What's the greatest theological concept in all your years of studying the Scriptures, in all your years of Bible study? What is the greatest theological concept that has ever crossed your mind, sir?" For a moment, he stepped back from the microphone. And then, as the students, 3,000 of them, waited with bated breath for this great noted theologian to give his answer to those young men that were going out into the ministry, he stepped back and then stepped forward. And those are the words he said. "The greatest theological concept that ever crossed my mind is summed up in these words. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so." He says the little hymn of the child sums up in truth the greatest theological discourse or concept that has ever crossed my mind. Men and women, young people, many of you young people are looking for love. Well, the world has turned it smutty, and television has turned it murky. But herein is love, friend. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. That's amazing grace. That's amazing love. Who am I? In the will of God, next Lord's Day, we'll look at the doctrine of justification. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us this morning.
We thank Thee for Thy love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank Thee, our God, that Thou art rightly angry with our sin. But we thank Thee that Thou didst send Thy Son to be the propitiation for our sin. We thank Thee, our God, that Thy holiness and Thy righteousness has been fully reconciled to Thy mercy and Thy grace. Mercy and peace have kissed each other. Oh, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And, O God, we thank Thee today that those of us who are in Christ leave Thy house today rejoicing in Thy great love. Father, bless Your people with peace today. And for those that are not saved, O God, I beg of Thee, blessed Spirit of God, speak to them. And draw them with the cords of love. Draw them to Jesus. I ask it for Jesus' sake.